Hey everybody, it's Scott Tempesta with Sailing Anarchy. We're doing yet another podcast today, and it's number 233, I'm pretty sure, if I have the math right. I've been very thankful to a lot of you who've sent in suggestions on, you know, what you'd like to hear me blather about, some good guest ideas, and as soon as I figure out how to master that technology, we'll be doing guests. I've just been slacking a little bit. Some really good topics people want to know about, you know, or at least have me talk about other aspects about the sport. Maybe some that aren't quite so, you know, headline-y, you know, that are, don't feature the latest bitch in boat, which, by the way, on Sailing Anarchy, I'm as guilty as hell. When there's a beautiful boat, race boat, you know, some performance bitchin' cruiser thing, yeah, I splash it on the page because, I mean, I love beautiful boats and I love the evolution of design, both racing and cruising. I mean, I just think that a lot of these boats are just so gorgeous and unique and so developed. I think it's worth, you know, it's worth a poke, as Kiss would say. But I try not to overwhelm, you know, with all that stuff. I mean, you know, listen, we get so many press releases, which we run virtually none of. We're not in the business of giving people free publicity. I mean, if you have something you want me to share or Sailing Anarchy to share, great. Here's an advertising package. Pick what suits you best and we'll do a really good job promoting your boat product, whatever it is. But just putting out free stuff, nah, I don't think so. There's another guy actually in this town who does that. He basically makes a living at printing press releases. So you could go over him. He'll do it. And so I appreciate that. And talking about some of the other, you know, like I said, less sort of known sailing, you know, kind of the Joe Sixpack stuff. People want to hear a little bit about, you know, my take on some of that. PHRF San Diego is just a magnificent example of how it has gone so wrong for getting people out to race. I mean, I'm sure it's the same in your area. You know, you go down to the boat on a particularly gorgeous day, and let's face it, San Diego has more than its share of gorgeous days. I mean, really, it's like solar power. You know, we should just ship some of our bitchin' days to, I don't know, Michigan. You know, Massachusetts, places don't get a lot of great days. We get a ton of them. But on any given day, you can go down and see who's on their boat and who's sailing and who's racing. And I can tell you, it's not very many. It's some and not nearly as many as there should be. And I can talk about that on another episode. You know, I don't mean to throw PHRF San Diego under the bus, but they're just so guilty of so much fuckery. Especially under the current handicapper. But I digress. One of the things that I've had, I don't know, maybe three or four requests for was, hey, tell us about how you started Sailing Anarchy. And I know to a lot of you who've been here from back in the day, which is what, 23 years ago now, 23, 24, I don't know. You know the story because really I was happy to share it because I almost couldn't believe how it came about. Without going too far into it, because there's another topic I wish to get to today. It involves three people primarily. Peter Eisler, Tom Lewick, Craig Lewick. Okay. Those three people had no idea. Craig doesn't count. Craig came in later. Craig didn't start shit. He didn't innovate anything. He just got it handed to him from his daddy. Which, by the way, when I go in to tell the story about this, I'll spend a fair amount of time bitching about all of that with those Lewicks. Jesus Christ. But that's for another day. In fact, I think I'll do that for the next episode. So kind of stay tuned. I'll let you know what I'm going to do. And no, I'll just let you know when I do it. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. I think I kind of already told you what I'm going to do. One of the things I want to talk about is Rule 69 in the racing rules. It used to be called sportsmanship, right? I think that's what it used to be, sportsmanship. Now it's called misconduct. You know, it's just like, it's the assumption that you're already guilty. At least with sportsmanship, you know, there's a little room to like, you know, okay, define what's good, what's bad. But misconduct is like, you're guilty already. Why wouldn't it just be conduct, right? If you're good, let's say, for example, let's say it was called sportsmanship back in the day, Rule 69. Well, why wouldn't you call it bad sportsmanship? Because that's really what you're trying to get at. And they didn't, though. It was sportsmanship. And then, you know, you follow down through what the rule actually means, which I'm going to do here in a second. But instead, it's just the assumption that you're already guilty because you have committed misconduct. Okay, so let's go into that a little bit. As defined by the rule, misconduct is, one, conduct that is a breach of good manners, a breach of good sportsmanship, or an ethical behavior, or two, conduct that may bring or has brought the sport into disrepute. Okay, that right alone, conduct that may bring or has brought the sport into disrepute. I would say that if you're going to judge things that way, and you're going to try to find people that are guilty of bringing or have brought the sport into disrepute, that would be sailing anarchy. Right? A lot of people think that, you know, we've done so much damage to the sport. And I mean, while I know they can't protest sailing anarchy per se, I don't think. I suppose if we were to sponsor a regatta, somebody could, you know, say that, no, you can't have sailing anarchy as a sponsor. They bring this sport into disrepute. Okay. Whatever. But let's go to the first thing. The racing rules of sailing are concerned about when it comes to Rule 69. Conduct that is a breach of good manners. Good manners. Really? Good manners? So if I fart at you, either on the water, which would be a feat, but I mean, I could do it. If anybody could do it, I could do it. Just ask my crew. But if I fart at you at the yacht club, what if nobody saw me fart at you, or nobody smelt it? Could you still protest me for breaching good manners by farting in your general direction? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there are so many frigging whiners out there. So many people who just love to use the rules to their advantage in every way possible. I don't like people like that. And I know really if you're going to be the complete sailor, you know, you should know the rules inside and out. And if you're a lawyer, well, God knows you could use any of these to your advantage, to somebody else's disadvantage. I mean, you really could. And so I hearken right back to good manners. Like, what in the hell does that mean? Can I not say hell? If I tell you suck, is that a breach of good manners? Is it a breach of good sportsmanship or unethical behavior? I mean, you could arguably say that if I tell you suck, you guys suck. If I said that, you could say that while it may be a breach of good manners in some stretch, some asshole's going to do that. You just know that that's going to happen if it hasn't already happened. I'm not going to go look through the appeals because I just don't care that much, quite honestly. I just want to talk about the written word here and like sort of how ludicrous it is. Okay, now a breach of good sportsmanship, that is relatively easy to define. And if I just go to Google, sportsmanship is an understanding of and commitment to fair play, ethical behavior, and integrity, and general goodwill towards an opponent. So if I tell you you suck, you and your crew suck, I suppose that is not general goodwill toward an opponent. But would you protest me for that? How many times does that happen on both on the water and ashore? People tell you, I don't know what you were doing out there, but it was fucking bullshit, man. Bullshit. Do weenies run in protest? He used bad manners and he didn't have good sportsmanship. I mean, I couldn't imagine it, right? Because I've probably done it 100 times, really. You know, I'm not a particularly cool cookie when I feel like I've been screwed. And so, you know, some of that Italian blood gets boiling up and, you know, I don't have a filter. And while my words don't fail me, I'd rather tell you just to fuck yourself than to go through, well, this, here's how I understand how things went. Let's have a dialogue about this and you can tell me your side and perhaps we can agree to disagree. Oh, fuck that. You know when people deserve a good fuck you. Of course, you can't do it too much because, well, look how the rules are written, have been rewritten. I mean, good manners, you can get thrown out for good manners. And then, by the way, you don't necessarily just get thrown out. There's a number of things that can be done just beyond that individual race, right? Regatta. I mean, there's other penalties that can be imposed. And so no farting, people. That's all I'm saying, no farting. Or unethical behavior. And, you know, I think we all kind of know what that means. I mean, you know, what's unethical? Well, I don't know. You got a cheater rudder. And you didn't tell anybody. And you knew you built it. And you used it. And you won with it. Or even you didn't win with it. You're such a hack that you didn't win, even though you had a cheater carbon rudder. I'm just speaking in general terms, not naming anybody here. It's unethical. I mean, you just cannot do it. Conduct that may bring or has brought the sport into disrepute. All right. Good God. I mean, these are the things we're worried about. Like what happens that would bring sailing into disrepute? Like why are we that uptight about what anybody would think? Well, let's look at a definition of disrepute. The state of being held in low esteem by the public. Think about that. So sailing and the racing rules care what the public would think about your farting but that brought the sport into disrepute? Seriously. Here's a little clue. The public doesn't give a shit about sailing. It couldn't care less about your racing and your racing rules. And every time you show the sport on the TV, or now probably more likely, since you're not going to get enough sponsors nor enough viewers to watch it on TV for the most part, what you do see is of marginal interest to anybody. I mean, I know they tried to broadcast the Olympics a few times, and I guess they still will. Olympic sailing. Oh, man. It is tedious. Tedious, bro. I mean, yeah, we all want a rah-rah, I guess. I'm not the rah-rah guy, but a lot of you are the rah-rah guy. I don't care. I mean, it's so hard. How can you even tell them apart for the most part unless they zoom in and, you know, have a little better camera technique and technology to do it. Okay. And the America's Cup is now, I suppose, the de facto thing that is shown on television, right? And it is a big deal and people are intrigued to a degree. But the public, I mean, they don't. First of all, they didn't know what sailing was before. They didn't understand it when it was sort of normal. Now that it's like this moon age daydream, that is really hard to figure out. I mean, it's hard for me to figure out sometimes. Sometimes, like I said in my earlier podcast, why I hate the America's Cup. I mean, sometimes you just can't even tell if they're going upwind or downwind. I mean, I'm not kidding. If you weren't watching the race and suddenly you came in on the first run, could you for sure say, oh yeah, they're running? I mean, you kind of can't. Because the angles are so ridiculous and the apparent wind so far forward, et cetera, et cetera. Don't let me get too far away from this. So disrepute, the state of being held in low esteem by the public. Okay. Really? Nobody thought, like, wow, do we really have to put this in here? When the geniuses who are writing this, I suppose it's world sailing, right? Aren't they uber alles over everything? God knows they certainly try to be. I mean, did people not go, well, we don't care about disrepute. Like, that's not relevant. I mean, bring the sport into disgrace or dishonor, I suppose, maybe. But really, is that sort of pressure falls upon a competitor, that the entire sport's reputation is damaged by your one action or multiple actions? Really? I don't think so. So I go back a little bit to the good manners. I mean, you look at this and you think, oh, we're proper yachting. We're worried about manners. Cannot swear on board, lovey. Would you hand me that? Oh, don't worry about it. I know it's wrapped around the headstay, but please hand me the sheet, darling. I mean, this is what we're doing. We're good manners. I mean, fuck. You're not at a dinner table. You're not at a high-level cocktail party where you're trying to impress people. And, you know, maybe you're not dropping F-bombs every 3 seconds like I would be doing. Okay, I get it. But it's a sailboat race. I mean, there are moments of incredible intensity, and people get wicked up, both right, whether you're right or you've been wronged. I mean, it's the same sort of thing. And people swear. I mean, all the time people swear. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about you. I mean, I tend to be a big proponent of swearing. I happen to like it. It's fun. It's something the whole family can do together. Hey, kids, gather around the table. Dad's going to teach you some new swear words. But, I mean, outside of just going completely insane, I don't know why somebody would get torqued. If I said, oh, that was fucking bullshit at that mark, and you know it was. Somebody literally could just protest me. And, you know, depending upon the race committee or the protest committee, I mean, and if they follow the letter of the law with the good manners and all that nonsense, you could literally get thrown out. I don't see why that would be getting Rule 69'd. I don't really understand the cloud of or the layer of sort of magnificence over the sport. Like, oh yes, we don't engage in bad manners, and we're very good sports, and oh, we're all so ethical. Come on. I mean, this is part of the problem with the sport. When you have the governing bodies, in this case, World Sailing, to a lesser degree, and boy, do I mean a lesser degree, U.S. Sailing. What the hell's going on there? I mean, we talked about it a little bit. I'm sure we'll get into it some more with some of the further resignations that have taken place. It's probably worth revisiting a little bit later. We put up an article on sailing anarchy that I actually took from the forum, if I can digress just for a second. And it was, I think the name of the article was Don't Kill It, Hep It. That's the short version for help for those of us that think we're cool. Yo, help me, bro. It's a good article. You should search for it on the front page of Sailing Anarchy and then follow the link into the forum, because it really does give, what's the word? Not a blueprint, because this is not a blueprint that they're engaging at all. What this group are trying to do is just bring sailing to a level where the kids can understand it, where they'll want to do it, where you bring in more community than just the yacht club weenies and the yacht club spoiled brats. It's really refreshing, and the U.S. Sailing hasn't already just adopted this. I mean, just as like a major platform, shows how lame and out of touch they are. I think they're frozen with fear. I don't think there's enough minds there that are willing to do what it takes to really change this sport. I don't think so. They're failing in their duties as a governing body here in the United States. And I know it's all Olympics, 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 and I get it. And I suppose that's their very reason for being. But how's that worked out? How's that been, U.S. Sailing, on our Olympic efforts over the last, 8 years? 12 years? I don't know. It hasn't been pretty. And then you bring in your hero. King K.R. to the rescue. How did that work out? It didn't. It was an abject failure. So, you know, without going over old ground, which I will real quickly, screw the Olympics. Put more money into the things that really matter, affect a greater group of people, kids, young people coming in from outside the sport, giving them programs that will let them understand and do this kind of on their own as they get going. I think that's super important. So if back to the rules, I mean, I think there needs to be something more meaty. There needs to be specific. Good manners is bullshit. Like, come on. Who are you to decide if my manners are good or bad? I mean, what? Because I didn't have the fork on the right side of the plate? Come on. It's actually pretty goddamn ridiculous. We understand the unethical behavior. And we understand that this conduct may bring the sport into disrepute, which is ridiculous. I mean, I don't like Rule 69 for what it's turned into. It kind of used to be, correct me if I'm wrong, used to be that you really had to sort of do something pretty major to get Rule 69. Like, I don't know, punch somebody, right? One time I was sailing the Far 40 free fall up in Long Beach. It was a one-ton regatta. It might have been one-ton midwinters when everybody was there. I think Ron Love was sailing Secret Love. I think. I know for a fact D. Smith was down here from Frisco sailing Bravura. And we were sailing a boat that nobody thought had a chance. And I must say, had it been typical Long Beach conditions, we wouldn't have had a chance, but it was pretty light air. And free fall was a very powered up Far 40. I mean, very powered up. It tipped over and howled like a pig when it got windy. I mean, you couldn't take enough sail area down. So we had a weapon for light air, and it turned out this regatta was really light, and we happened to sail a fab regatta. I mean, we won the thing. Which was, you know, nobody thought that was even possible. We did. We knew we were good, and we saw the conditions. We're like, yeah, sure. But in the parking lot, D. Smith, the bald ego, one of the biggest assholes this sport has ever produced. I mean, a great sailor, beyond question. But Jesus H. Christ, the way the guy yelled at people. I don't think he does much anymore. I mean, the way he berated people, it was just so unnecessary. You know, I don't know if he ever got punched, but he certainly should have. I mean, the guy deserved it for being just such a douche. So we're in the parking lot, walking, I don't know, from the boat through the parking lot to the club. And I'm there with a couple of my big crew members, and D. Smith starts walking over. He goes, yeah, you guys are bullshit. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, fuck you guys. I mean, he was such a dick, like so angry out of nowhere. And I'm like, what? I was actually really shocked because I didn't really know much about the guy. But it was like, I mean, that was a Rule 69 violation, right? I suppose. Now, I wouldn't protest. I mean, he wanted to fight. He actually wanted to fight. And I'm going to let some angry little midget come up at me, you know, just on fire and start swinging away. I mean, I got nothing. First of all, we did nothing. There was no protest. There was no foul. It was just, I think he was just generally pissed, you know, that we were whipping him, and he was having a pretty bad regatta, as I recall. I think Bravura was a pig in light air because it was from Frisco, like D. And so, you know, I've had a run in or two with people. I mean, I have, for sure. And I think we all have. Who hasn't had a run in with somebody, you know, where tempers flare and, you know, bad words were said, and, you know, lots of anger. But is any of that protest worthy? To some weenies, it is. To me, it's not. I don't like Rule 69. Especially being the founder of Sailing Anarchy. You know, that whole disrepute thing, I'm not touching it. You know, I try not to get involved. I try not to go in the protest room at all. And that is really the lesson of the day, kids. Stay the hell out of the room. All right, for Sailing Anarchy, I'm Scott Tempesta. We'll talk to you later.